First John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray that you would, by your Spirit, bring its message to each of our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. These two verses are very special verses to me, because the first person that the Lord gave us opportunity of leading to Christ in the land of Chile was by means of these two verses. We, shortly after we went to Chile, we made acquaintance of a lady who, I believe she probably was a Christian, but just did not understand the joy of knowing without a doubt that Christ saves. And we had the joy of, I believe, helping her to assurance of salvation. She immediately asked me if I would go visit her daughter. She took me to the home. Here, a young mother of perhaps early 20s was in bed dying of kidney failure. So we talked with her and presented the gospel to her. I had the joy of seeing her also come to Christ as her personal Savior. And we encouraged her there as she lay on her bed to begin storing in her heart verses of Scripture. She was already beginning to lose her sight, and we just realized that this would be soon her only source of encouragement from Scripture, would be what she would have in her own, stored up in her own mind and her own heart. And so she began learning Scripture. We gave her basic Scriptures to memorize. And one day, as I was visiting Vicentina, it was one of her last days before she passed into unconsciousness. As she was laying there in darkness, not able to see any longer, as I walked in the room, I said, "Vicentina, how is it today?" And she replied with these two verses. In Spanish, of course, she said, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And these were about the last words that she pronounced before she went into unconsciousness and into eternity. So these verses have been very special, and each time I read them, I think of Vicentina and the way that God used these verses to bring to her heart the assurance of eternal life in Jesus Christ. In our previous study, you remember in verse 10, John says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." And we mentioned there how he was referring back to the fact that the witness of God in these previous verses was to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And so verse 10 stresses the witness to the person of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And then beginning here in verse 11, verses 11 and 12, we have the witness to the work of Jesus Christ. And John says, "In him we have life." Now, Jesus' work is of value because of who he is, because of his person. A finite sacrifice would have no value at all. If he were but a man, his death on the cross would be of no value to us. But because he was and is the Son of God, the eternal, infinite Son of God, his death on the cross has eternal and infinite value. And so because of his person, his work is of value. Because he is the eternal Son of God, eternal life is in him. And so in the eternal Son of God is found the eternal life of God. John here in this verse, these two verses, mentions four things we'd like to bring to your attention. First of all, regarding this life, it is eternal. Now, the word here, eternal, refers to that which has no beginning or no end. The primary meaning, aionios, no beginning, no end. We might say then, by way of further explanation, this is a life that is not measured by time. This is a life then that would be ageless or timeless. And in fact, we have a reference in Romans 16, verse 26, to the commandment of the everlasting God. And here we have the very same word that's used here, eternal. And so here we have the God who is not measured by time. Without beginning, without end, He is ageless, He is timeless. Now, this eternal life that John refers to has a future aspect to it. For example, Jesus talking with the disciples in John 14, 2 and 3 says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. There is a future aspect to eternal life. We will be with Him. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Paul mentions that Jesus Christ is coming back again. We'll be caught up to meet Him in the clouds of the air. And Paul finishes that section by saying, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So there is a future aspect to eternal life. We will be with Him forever. However, there is also a present possession. In John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so John says he has everlasting life and that he already is passed from death unto life. And so although eternal life has a future aspect, after death we will be with Christ forever, it also has a very present aspect. It is a present possession. We have eternal life. We enjoy eternal life right now. And so it is a present possession that we enjoy here also in this life. We could say that eternal life then is a quality, a life that is a quality that is to be enjoyed here and now. Eternal life could be stated as, perhaps as ageless life. This eternal life is ageless. This is a life that never grows old. I think we've seen this many times ourselves. As we have been, for example, at the bedside of a dying saint of God. And here is that dying saint. The body is passing on, but the spirit is still young. The body is worn out. The spirit is still very much alive. He or she would have no strength to get up and serve your physical needs. But as they lay there, they serve and meet your spiritual needs. They have found the fountain of eternal youth. And as the body perishes, the spirit is still very much alive. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So here is that abundant life of the spirit, even though the flesh fails. And so this is an ageless life. It's a life that does not age. And as we see a person passing out into eternity, a growing Christian, we are just amazed. We see the aged frame. We perhaps hear the cracking voice. And yet behind it we sense that same youthfulness of spirit. They're just the same person we've known for years and years and years. An ageless life. I believe also this eternal life that we enjoy now is not only ageless, we could say it is timeless. It is a timeless life. Now, we live in a time-conscious generation. We're told time and time again, we need to plan our work and work our plan. And there are all kinds of seminars going on to teach you to be more effective and efficient. And these things are good. God actually is a very well-structured person. We're told to do everything decently and in order. We are told that in Galatians 4:4 that in the fullness of the time, God sent His Son. And so God has a very definite, structured program. And so there's nothing wrong with this. And on the other hand, God warns us against laziness, and we see a lot of that today also. People who have no consciousness at all of responsibility. We're warned about the dangers of laziness in Proverbs, for example, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 9, and Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4. Solomon says, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard?" And there are those who could stretch out underneath a tree and stay there forever and have no concerns whatsoever. And God says this is, we are warned against this, and there are definite consequences to the sluggard, consequences of laziness. Nevertheless, I believe that there is a very definite danger in time consciousness. And this eternal life is a life that is ageless. It's a life that is timeless, and I believe it has a very specific application for that reason to us also right now, in that there is a real danger to time consciousness. Now, although our lives should be structured, the danger here is the competition between my schedule and God's schedule. This is where we run into trouble. I set up my schedule, and God has His schedule. Now, some would say, well, but doesn't it say in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil? Now, doesn't that mean get organized and quit wasting time? No, I don't believe that's what it means. If we look at that verse clearly, we find that redeeming, the word there means to pay the price. The word time is not the word chronos, from which we get our word, for example, chronology, which would mean a scheduled program of time. That's not the word used there. The word used there is kairos, which means season, opportunity, opportune moments. And so I believe what that word, what that verse is saying is not to get organized and quit wasting time. I believe it's an exhortation not to miss at any cost the opportune moments that God in His schedule brings into our lives. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 7, we have these two words used right next to each other. In Acts 1:7, Jesus said to His disciples, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons." And there the word times, chronos, and the word seasons, kairos, Jesus says, "It is not for you to know neither God's time schedule nor His specific seasons." And so the specific seasons seem to be blobs of time or blobs of opportunity on the schedule of time. Now, for example, if we had time here in a line, and we had blocks of time that maybe God would have in His program. These would be the times. Then the seasons are specific things that God wants to do in this program. And so we have these blobs of seasons on the expanse of time. Now, these seasons then are specific, opportune moments, specific things that God wants to do at that particular time. Now, Jesus says, regarding the future, and that they wanted to know about when would be the kingdom, he says, God isn't revealing those things to you right now. But regarding our daily lives, God does this. God reveals to us the specific opportunities that he wants us to take. And so the admonition is not to schedule my time, but rather to be alert to grasp at any price the God-given opportunities that he brings my way. Now that means that a tight personal schedule can cause me to miss God-given opportunities. Or if it doesn't cause me to miss them altogether, it can cause me at least to resent them as they push their way into my life. Resent the intrusion into my well-planned schedule. And this, of course, results in impatience. It results in giving God a deadline for getting these things out of my life. And so a time, personal time schedule can cause problems if we allow it to overrun God's schedule. We're told in Psalm 37:7 that we are to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Not let my time schedule cause me to miss or resent his golden opportunities. And this life then, that is eternal life, has a very present application, and that is a thrilling life right now. It is ageless and timeless. Ageless in that even though our bodies decay, our spirits remain young. Timeless in that God does not intend for us to get all wrapped up in our time program and then miss the good things that he has planned for us along the line of his schedule of opportunities. It is eternal life, a life that lasts forever. And it's a life that has a very specific, joyous quality right now. Now, this life, John says, in the second place, is God's gift. John tells us, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. We're told in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, there's one thing about a gift. Any payment makes it a purchase. If someone should come to you and say, I have a brand new car here I'd like to give you. And you say, oh, that's too much. I can't let you do something like that. That's just too much. Here, let me see. I've got $5 here. Let me at least pay a part of it. You see, from then on, you could say, did I get a buy? I bought a brand new car for $5. And we could boast about it. About the good buy that we got. Because it's a purchase. And so anything that is paid makes it a purchase. And God says that eternal life is a gift. That means that you can't give anything to deserve it, to obtain it. It's a gift. And so eternal life is God's gift. This gift is in Jesus Christ. And John says, God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. Eternal life is in Jesus Christ. And so that means that when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, in him comes eternal life. Eternal life is in the person of Jesus Christ. Eternal life is called here the life, the quality. This is the life. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so referring to the quality of it, John says, this is the life. There is no other. And in the original, it has the article. We're here in our translation, it says, he that hath the Son hath life. Actually, there's the article there, hath the life. In other words, there's no other life, only the life that is in him. This deals not only with the quality, but deals with the location. It is in the Son of God. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so he's called the only begotten Son. He is the Son. And so both of these have the article. He is the Son. There is no other. In him is the life. There is no other. And so eternal life is in Jesus Christ. And fourthly, it is only in Jesus Christ. And John says, he that hath not the Son hath not life. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you do not have life. Because it is only in Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is only in Jesus Christ. And it's possible for a person to be physically alive and yet not have spiritual life, because spiritual life is only in Jesus Christ. And so John says, this is the place, this is the person in whom we have eternal life. This is where we go. We go to Jesus Christ, and in him is life. If you have him, you have life. If you do not have him, you do not have life. This life is a gift. Either you take it as a gift, or you don't have it, because God will not sell it. If you will not receive it, you will not have it. You may not buy it. This is eternal life that is a gift. It is in Jesus Christ. It's a gift that you'll have forever, because it lasts forever and ever. It has no end, the life that God gives. And yet it's a life that you enjoy right now, right here and now. And I think sometimes as Christians, it's so easy for us to forget that the life that God has given to us eternally, forever and ever, is something that he wants us to enjoy right now. And it's a very special kind of life that keeps you young forever. It's a very special kind of life that takes all the pressures off, because it becomes timeless. And you aren't being pushed into a mold constantly of rushing around, as we sometimes say, running around like a chicken with his head cut off. You know, one thing about a chicken, after you cut off his head, he still just keeps on going round and round. And we die in Christ. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. And sometimes we just keep on going around and around, dead in a circle. And God says, this is a very special life. Just like it's timeless in its duration, it's timeless right now, in that we are not pressed into the mold of the pressures of this world and of our own feelings, a pressure that we would put upon us. It's timeless. And so it's a life that's enjoyable. You know, sometimes I think, as I forget from time to time the kind of life that God's given to me, and I find myself running around like that chicken with his head cut off, God says, you know, I've given you eternal life. He says, thank you, Lord. And he says, you have that life right now. You mean this way it's going to be all throughout eternity? You mean, I've got right now what is going to be forever? Because, you know, we kind of give ourselves that subtle hope, you know, we'll soon be done with troubles and trials. And won't eternity be wonderful, because it won't be like this? Now, that's not so. Now, there's an aspect in which we'll be changed and our situations will be changed. But the eternal life that God has given us is right now. Praise God, it doesn't mean that eternity is going to be like right now. But what it does mean is right now ought to be like eternity. Because this is the gift of God in Jesus Christ, eternal life. God has given. It doesn't say will give. This isn't something that comes after death. He has given. This is the record. This is what God has put down for us in black and white so we won't miss it, so we'll be sure to have it. And God says, I want you to know right now, and so I put it in black and white in big letters. This is the record. God has given to us eternal life. Right now and forever and ever. Do you have the Son? If you have the Son, you have life. And if you have eternal life is right now. So we pray. Father, we thank you this morning for this abundant provision in Jesus Christ. We praise you, Father, that although we have an eternal, everlasting hope that we look forward to in Jesus Christ as your very special gift, we thank you that we enjoy this unusual life right now. A life that is ageless and timeless, enjoyable and glorious, day by day. We confess, Lord, that just as a chicken will run around, not realizing he even lost his head, so also, Lord, sometimes we run around, not realizing that you've given to us now a very special, different kind of life. How we thank you. And this is the record. You've written it down for us, black and white. So we'll have no doubt about its truthfulness. And so we can examine its clarity. We thank you for your provision. Should there be this morning in our midst one who does not have eternal life, who has never received Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord, is not saved, not ready to die, not sure of heaven. Thank you, Father, that this morning, just now, the command of the Word of God is to repent and to believe the gospel. Repent of trying to purchase their own way to eternal life, purchase their own way to heaven, repenting of that sin, of trying to be good enough to deserve, of trying to give their $5 or their good works. They'll repent of that sin and believe the gospel. Lord, I thank you that the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, and that just now they'll believe and thank you for your provision. For those of us, Lord, who at one time came into this glorious eternal life in Christ, we pray that you would teach us day by day what it means to have this kind of life, this very special life, and to enjoy eternity now rather than hope that eternity will be different. In Jesus' name, amen.